Welcome to Voices Unplugged, featuring stories that matter, voices that inspire, and perspectives that may challenge the status quo. Unplug from the noise of everyday life to connect with fascinating student hosts from all walks of life. So grab your headphones, sit back, and let's amplify the conversations that need to be heard.
Hey guys, it's Zach McMullen here on Unsolved Murder Mysteries, and today we're going to be talking about the case of a serial killer in Ohio. This case went unsolved for years, and there's been many debates over the legitimacy of who did it or why they did it, and they really don't know. So the first known murder by this serial killer was on April 19th, 1990. They found a partially nude body of a woman behind a truck stop in Lincoln County, Ohio. She had been beaten to death, and all of her jewelry and some of the articles of clothing were missing. And despite an extensive investigation by the county sheriff's office, she was never identified. She was in fact a Jane Doe, so they did not know who she was, what happened to her, or why she was there. All they know is that she was murdered. 4 years earlier, on July 20th, 1986, the body of a 23-year-old Shirley Dean Taylor was found behind a traffic barrier on Interstate 71 in Medina County, 100 miles away. Now, when they found the first body, they did not know they were connected, but they later would find out that they were connected, which was a big impact on the case. They were both also known prostitutes. That was a huge connection. She had also been beaten to death. As in the case of Jane Doe, all her jewelry and several pieces of her clothing had been removed from her body, but no one would connect the nearly identical murders until 1990. Then in November, Michael Behrens, a reporter for the Columbus Dispatch, began a preliminary research for a possible story on serial killers. He remembered a statement that an FBI agent made about the prostitutes being the ideal serial killer's victims, because they are transient and often their disappearance are not reported immediately. He started looking at prostitutes' death across Ohio, primarily using newspaper stories as a way to track them. And that's when he connected these two deaths and many, many other deaths. He saw a sinister pattern. 8 women in 8 different counties had been beaten or strangled to death. Each were found alongside a major interstate or a truck stop, and all were prostitutes. He began to investigate a little-known subculture of Ohio's interstate truck stops. He went undercover and discovered a florist sex-for-sale industry at stops throughout the state. On any given night, any number of women were available. They worked off the CB radio from truckers' trucks and did everything anonymously. They would get on the radio and give their handle and a catchphrase that they developed as their trademark. The trucker would then answer back with a description of the truck and location. Women used the trucker's radios to contact their next customer after their first customer. 27-year-old Anna Marie Patterson, who used to be handled Sleeping Beauty, was the 6th known victim. In reviewing the investigation of her murder, Michael uncovered several possible clues to the killer's identity. On February 8, 1987, she was working at a truck stop in Austintown, Ohio, which is 150 miles away from the other murders. She had told investigators that a certain truck driver who went by the CB handle Dr. No could be responsible for the murders. And she was scared of him because she had turned down Dr. No, but she did not know his real name. And she also mentioned that many prostitutes were afraid of Dr. No. Then 25 days later, they found her body, Anna Marie, which is her name, was found wrapped in a sleeping bag along Interstate 71, northeast of Cincinnati. She was found in about 4 to 6 inches of water in a drainage ditch in a field about 250 miles from where she was last seen, which is a further indication why police thought the killer, or killers, was a truck driver. She had been beaten so brutally that her head had been bashed in. She had a rule of staying in the truck stop and would not allow a trucker to take her off the stop. As a result, it was believed that she was probably killed or knocked unconscious at the stop. At the time of her death, she was also 6 months pregnant. Each of these women had been beaten viciously, which is ultimately how police were able to make these connections of the unidentified women. They later started to identify the women, which led them to more and more cases, and even cases out of state in the surrounding states, such as Pennsylvania, New York, and more cases in Ohio. I mean, even some in Illinois. Now, some of these cases were determined to not be connected. Well, some of these cases were not connected. Some of them were. And some of them were suspected to be the work of serial killer Lorenzo Gilliard. But it is uncertain whether other murders were connected to Hetzel or Gilliard. There's also a wide variety of suspects, all of them being truck drivers. Police interviewed many, many, many truck drivers, but were unable to ultimately get convictions for all of these murders. Now, police still have many suspects and will continue to track down leads and investigate and will never give up. But unfortunately, these cases still remain unsolved.
Welcome to the Falcon's Lair at Blue Ridge Mountains. Joining us on this weekend getaway is Chris, Gina, Adam, and Watson the pup. We are currently sitting in the game room playing Super Fight. Super Fight is a game where players take turns drawing cards to assemble a fighter, then having a quick debate across the table. After a length of time, the rest of the table will pick a fighter that would win based off of the arguments presented. With that being said, are you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this.
All right, so who goes first?
You go first, you and Gina.
Me and Gina, okay. Okay, so I already have my cards picked.
Yes.
All right. I will draw first then. So, the cards I have are College Acapella Group is Radioactive. And then I will draw my next card, Being Guarded by the Secret Service.
You ready?
What do you
have? What do you have?
I have a Femme Fatale, who is a super genius, and is a hoarder.
A hoarder.
Okay, well, I think this is a pretty open shut case. I have a College Acapella Group that sings, okay? They are Radioactive, so your Femme Fatale, as soon as they come near this College Acapella Group, will be injected with a lethal amount of radioactivity, and you will die a horrible and painful sudden acute radiation syndrome death. And also, I'm being guarded by the Secret Service, so any attempt at any long-range distance attacks will be averted by my Secret Service.
Well, I'm a very seductive woman, and an acapella group, typically mostly men. First, number one. Number two, I'm a super genius, and I'm a hoarder, so I have all the tools, all the materials, you know, that I could tap into and build something that is very powerful, that is against radioactive, and can totally win a fight.
What could you build against radioactivity?
Anything that is anti-radioactive.
you would have to build a very large lead shielding, and even if you are a femme fatale, I'm being guarded by the Secret Service, and they won't be fooled by your trickery.
But the Secret Service is mostly men.
They won't be fooled by your trickery. They are trained operatives from the CIA.
They all have
PEI.
Well, hold on a second. As a judge, let's go back to your first assumption of all that mostly men are in college acapella groups. What is that about? What data do you have?
That is a very solid point.
Is that true? Is that
solid? Yeah. If I have female acapella people who identify as female acapellas in my group, your femme fatale tricks will not work on us. And again, I'm radioactive.
Okay, a female seductive woman not necessarily can seduct men, can also seduct women too.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. So what's your plan of attack?
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, alright, so let's make a decision then. Adam, do you have an idea of who you think would win?
I mean, I'm leaning towards the Radioactive College a cappella group. So I think that's who I'm going to go with.
I'm actually going to go with Gina's, the female Fatale.
What?
Because, again, super genius, can outbrain radioactivity.
But she didn't say how she was going to outbrain. If she gave like a
explanation. She said she was going to use all her equipment as a hoarder to come up with a tool
but
to defeat
like,
the radioactivity.
Without saying what the method would be. Like, if I got some details of like what that prevention
and
strategy
would be. It
would
be anything that is,
like,
you know, against radioactive.
See, that's too vague. I think I need more details.
I think you would need lots of lead.
Well, we're not super geniuses.
Okay, I can't come up with...
Yeah.
Lots of lead... Okay, you would need lots of lead shielding.
That's I'm not a scientist. I can't figure that on the spot.
Yeah, you would need...
But she is a super genius, and she can figure
it
out.
Yeah, you need a lot of lead shielding.
I'm hearing a lot of theoretical and... Potentially, that's possible.
Okay, so we have a tie.
I think that's a tie.
All right. Yeah. So, here's what the rules say in the event of a tie. In the event of a tie, both players draw a white card and fight to the death with no attributes. The table votes again. Do this until there is a winner, then discard the white cards from the tiebreaker fights. So, we draw one white.
Just a head-to-head.
Demon-possessed car versus Viking.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay, well, demon-possessed car, obviously, it's a big metal object that can just crash into a Viking, which is a person, human being. How do you stop a demon-possessed vehicle as a Viking?
I use the power of my god.
Which is what? What is the Viking god?
You use
very curious.
The power of Odin.
I will pray to Odin. And Odin will answer me, the Viking, and will help me undemonize the car.
I have no counter argument.
I don't know. I'm thinking the demon possessed car. I think this one.
If the demon possessed car,
I think
it's
the tiebreaker.
I think I'm still going with Viking just because. Well, the car can't go in the water. Vikings are very like naval. And also, you're not gonna, like, when do you ever see one Viking? Like, you always see, like, Vikings. So I feel like,
yeah,
you know, it's still a toss-up for me. I feel like if this was a naval battle, the Vikings, plus Vikings are known to pillage, like, pretty readily. So I feel like it's a toss-up. If you had Power of Odin behind you, maybe that would tip the scales. So I'm kind of going Viking on this.
But
well,
that's
what
I'm
funny. I think we have to do another tiebreaker.
Another
tiebreaker.
Sudden death here.
Okay. The player to your left.
Oh.
So Gina. versus a pterodactyl.
Okay, well.
Sorry, babe. I think you're getting carried off by a pterodactyl.
But I have to vote in your favor because you are my fighter. So I will say Gina will run and hide in the nearest cave and will not be able to be attacked by a pterodactyl.
Knowing myself, I'm very clumsy and I would trip and fail. It will definitely get caught.
She would try to pet the pterodactyl and it would carry her to its nest.
I'm just going to stay with... I'm going to hide in a cave because pterodactyls are... flight creatures and hope for the best.
Yeah, right. I'm thinking pterodactyl is gonna win
this
one.
Okay. Alright.
All right. Gina, funny. You win.
So now you
yeah, you keep yours.
So what says that
the first one.
Just the femme fatale.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright. And that goes to
we'll do one more round.
Mr. Adam.
Okay. So the Hulk armed with a flamethrower. And he's also armed with a freeze ray. That's interesting.
Versus
the femme fatale with a super genius hoarder mentality. So the Hulk, I believe, was transformed into the Hulk in the first place by radiation. Therefore, he's immune to most... that's yours. Sorry. Super genius. Well, the Hulk is also a super genius, as you know. So he's also a scientist. So I feel like... whatever, like, special tricks up your sleeve that you'll have, I feel like you know, Bruce Banner, Dr. Bruce Banner, PhD, will be able to, you know, work his way out of that. Also, he's got a flamethrower and he can turn into the Hulk when he needs to.
And we use a different strategy as a super genius and a hoarder. I'm going to build something to fly away and run away.
The Hulk can jump, like, I think, several stories. So I feel like even if you flew away, like, he's been known to take planes out of the sky.
I mean, in the Hulk 2004 movie, he jumped off a cliff and grabbed a helicopter out of the sky and smashed it into the ground.
Yeah.
So I think if you fly away, he will still somehow manage to grab you.
I'm pretty sure the Hulk has also, like, survived, like, nuclear blasts. Like, I think he's one of the most survivable.
Yeah. Tank shellings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have an argument against that.
All right.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking Hulk's gonna.
I think the Hulk
gonna win this
Hulk
one.
Smash. Hulk shake.
Yeah.
Hulk smash.
Hulk smash.
I agree.
Nice round.
All right. So that's about it for our time. So thank you guys for listening. Hope you had as much fun as we did, and we'll see you guys around.
Thank you for joining us on Voices Unplugged. Keep listening, keep learning, and keep leading those voices.